So, Damien, if it was always going to be Google Fitbit at the end of the day, what was the point of this whole Fitbit by Google thing?
Well, that is a question. It screams of Google not necessarily knowing what to do with the Fitbit brand, even though they've purchased it. I mean, that's probably a little bit obvious. But if, yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Like, Fitbit's been such a one of those things that's bubbling under the surface for such a long time, and now we're finally starting to see some real movement, if that makes sense.
So yeah, I think the starting point is Google acquiring Fitbit, but I think the most recent point is in January when Google reorganized the hardware divisions, so that there's central hardware, software, UI, UX teams, basically. And as part of that, the Fitbit co-founders left, other Fitbit leadership left. All that happened in January. And I think a few days ago, when that the Fitbit by Google branding on Fitbit.com was changed to just Google Fitbit, I think that's the first sign of that internal reorganization bleeding into the external public world. And Google Fitbit, what do you think of that name?
I kind of like it. I think it makes sense. The best way to describe it from my perspective is, now I'm thinking about it, is that it aligns more with the Google Fit branding. We've had Google Fit for a long time. Hasn't really done a great deal in terms of like functionality, that kind of stuff. It's one of those, in terms of just a pure application, it's one of those apps that I always activate on my phones, on my Pixel, whatever it happens to be, and I let it do its thing in the background. If Fitbit's going to take over, which obviously there's going to be more integration with that, merging the two under Google Fitbit, you just adding the bit to the end, right? So it kind of makes sense. It kind of makes sense from that perspective. And there's no ambiguity as well. It's not,
yeah.
It's just Google, this is Google Fitbit. We own Google. Google owns Fitbit. We are Google Fitbit. And I think that makes a lot of sense, especially with the integrations with Pixel Watch.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that schism, right? You don't have that schism and the confusion between the two products.
So the precedent here is obviously Google bought Nest, and then it became Google Nest as it is Google Pixel, as it is now Google Fitbit. So that's it's clearly Google getting its ducks in a row, so to speak. But yeah, this Google Fitbit stuff, I'm kind of curious, like the thing that I'm most curious by is what's going to happen to the Fitbit logo, that the dots arranged in an arrow, so it makes out an arrow. If you look at Google Pixel, if you look at Google Nest, the branding they use is the main Google G on hardware. And I'm curious whether they're going to give up that the historic Fitbit logo as a result of this.
I wonder how strong it is. I wonder how strong the Fitbit logo is, because you could ask me, and I initially it would probably take me a couple of guesses to work out that it is the Fitbit logo, because there's a lot of similarities to other logos out there. Like, I don't really, to be quite honest with you, think it's that strong.
Yeah.
So changing the logo might not be a bad thing, but at the same time,
it's
I don't know how do they do it. Yeah, how do they do it? Maybe they could incorporate. I'm not a logo designer, so I'm not going to give Google any advice on that. But I think it's a very strange one, because it doesn't scream. It doesn't scream, I need to be activated or used on a smartwatch or a smartphone, for instance, unless there's text beside it. It does look a bit generic to me.
Gotcha. So yeah, Google Fitbit. It's a week or so old at this point. We've yet to see it on any packaging, of course, but it's the start of something, and it's also part of what I'm calling Fitbit's big week. Though I'm sure it's slightly unintentional, and it's just where the cards have fallen. But I don't know, Fitbit has had a big few days in terms of announcements. I would say to go back, it's Health Connect coming to the Fitbit app. It's the Fitbit app showing third-party stats and becoming more like Google Fit. And there are some people that really love Google Fit. Like you said, like you, I also enable it on every phone, even if it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I just feel like with because I've probably used it for so long as just like the most basic fitness tracking, usually for walks, that kind of thing. And I agree with you that the big software side of things is integrating that into the Fitbit feed, because I'm one of these people who, when I wear, say, I'm currently wearing the Galaxy Watch 6 Classic after we were talking about Wear OS last week. It's a huge, hulking, great thing. But I like all of the data to be in one place that's consistent across every single device that I own. So Google Fit's quite good with that. And for a long time before Health Connect even existed, I don't know if anybody else out there listening has done this before, but there was an application called Health Sync. I think it was like a dollar in the US store. I think I paid about 89p here in the UK. And that was basically like a bridge. It was effectively Health Connect before that even existed. So I used to, whenever I would wear a smart wearable, whatever it happened to be, I would have Health Sync on my smartphone and have all of that data get pulled into Google Fit anyway. So I'd have some level of proper tracking, if that makes sense. And I always found that a really nice way to do it. So if Fitbit, the application, is going to do that itself, then it kind of, I don't know, like I alluded to a little bit earlier, what does this mean for the Google Fit application? Maybe it'll just become the Google Fitbit application. And I don't know.
So I think the feature worth taking from Google Fit is its browse tab, where it shows all these stats with six high-level categories, activity, body measurements, vitals, nutrition, sleep, cycle tracking. It's a simpler app, even after the Fitbit redesign. I still think the Google Fit app is absolutely simpler. I would argue that it's to the point of being bare bones, since it hasn't seen meaningful updates or investments in a few years, probably by design. If you want to go even further, you could correlate the history of Wear OS and Google Fit and how the declines in both made an impact. But I don't think Google Fit, especially with this Health Connect news, I don't think it has a long-term future. It hasn't been updated in ages. It looks old. Why does Google need two of the same apps? I could go on, but I think Google Fit is not long for this world.
Yeah, it's a shame. I know you said it looks old, but I kind of like some of the elements of it, the UI elements. It definitely feels cohesive to the rest of like the main Google suite of applications.
No, this is, I've noticed this phenomenon before. When an app hasn't been updated in some time, it's so old, it becomes new. I strongly feel like, it's retro.
Old is new again. I kind of get what you mean.
It's so unique. This Google Material theme stands out so much against Material U that it becomes this retro futurism, whatever. But no, I totally feel that. I absolutely feel that.
Yeah, and I like the journal tab. I think the journal tab is fine. Like, to me, it's fine. Maybe we're not the people to be talking about cataloging and seeing all of the fitness data in one place, because I actually think the Samsung Health app is quite good, and I know a lot of people don't like it. So
the app is fine. The app, I'm not sure, but I can't vouch for Galaxy Watch step tracking accuracy.
This is a thing where, like, with so inaccurate information available, like,
but at the same time, as long as it's consistent, it doesn't really matter. Yes, the steps might be off 1,000. Or whatever, if compared
but
to
if you consistently
wearables.
Do that every single day,
yes,
you know, right?
Yeah, it should be fine.
Yeah,
which is the long term.
I mean, I'd like to see Google just come out and say that they're going to sunset the application, and that's not something that they would come out and do at this point in time. Obviously, they have a track record of it, sadly, but being able to see all of your data in the Fitbit application might make me appreciate it more, because for some reason the Fitbit application, at least until recently, having the premium tier meant that I just wasn't really using it as quite as regularly, because obviously the Google One VPN situation means I now get it as part of my VPN package mm-hmm. and my Google One storage package. So I'm more inclined now intrinsically to go to Fitbit because I'm part of the premium tier as part of another plan. So maybe there's some sort of like social engineering that's gone on by Google to be like, hey, the Google Fit app doesn't have anything anyway, so you may as well switch over to Fitbit. Reactivating my Pixel Watch 1 as well just last week to compare some things with the Galaxy Watch 6, and I found I didn't hate the Fitbit application as much as I did. I just find it all a little bit, I don't know how to describe it. It's
a long
time. There's too many things going on at once. Absolutely. I'm like, just streamline. I think maybe that's why I was reluctant to get rid of Fit on all of my devices, Google Fit, that is, because while it is a little bit out of date, it's streamlined, it's fairly clean. There's no confusion about the data because uh-huh. it's just really, really basic. Uh-huh. And I think sometimes that's probably enough, I guess, for some people. But if you're really into your fitness, you're not going to be looking at Fitbit anyway. I think for the most part, you're going to be using a Garmin, Coros, Polo, whatever it happens to be. But for the rest of us, does the data need to be that in depth? But I guess that goes on to another point that I mentioned previously on the previous podcast, is if we start getting AI integration, which looks like it potentially going to happen, mm-hmm. then this fitness data might actually start meaning things. We'll get like meaningful information feedback loop from Gemini, whatever happens to be, and we can create tailored programs, all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
what's the deal with that? What's the deal with this LLM that's going to be integrated?
The goal is to give you an AI health coach, a personalized coach. So the idea is basically Fitbit looks at your data and lets you ask questions of it in a natural manner, in a conversational manner. So the example Google used was, for example, you could dig deeper into how many active zone minutes you get and the correlation with how restorative your sleep is. It's this idea of just taking an LLM and having it find patterns that aren't normally surfaced. And I think this is a good start to it, especially since like the safety angle of this is, right, you don't want the AI to suggest something unhealthy. And once you approach the realm of health, there's so many questions and concerns, and it needs to be handled correctly.
Yeah, I find it I find all of this fascinating. Like, this is a little bit of insight into what I did in a previous life. When I studied computer science at university, I did a lot of what would have been the early LLM kind of stuff. We did. I studied in my final year at university data mining and decision support systems. So one of my final year projects was to build a piece of software that would analyze information on heart patients, and if they were at higher risk of certain heart defects, heart illnesses. And this sounds like a very progressed way of approaching that from Google and Fitbit. If you can gather all that information and get a full picture of someone's health, and then give people advice on, say, training routines, if you need, I don't know, if it's your blood pressure's high as a result of XYZ, then I think that'd be kind of, that's where I foresee the AI integrating into health tech going to be really, really interesting. And if Google has all of this information on board from years of obviously having the Fitbit data as well, then I don't see why it wouldn't be a benefit to the average person. But then again, is it going to be one of those things that's supplementary, or is it a core part of Fitbit's future product path, or Pixel Watch's product path? Because
I think all apps are going in this direction. Like Whoop already does this. Whoop caters towards that fitness audience with a simple band that's decidedly not a smartwatch. But yeah, this idea of asking questions. Fitbit Labs. Notably, it was announced alongside the Pixel Watch 2 in October. It was a key point of we have AI in our stuff in October, and we it's still officially coming later this year, and it's going to be a limited preview in Android for Android users who are subscribed to Fitbit Premium. It's still early days, to use a favorite Google phrase. But I don't know. It's what they're focusing on. They talked a lot about sleep, about working with sleep coaches, and it's...
I need to interject here for sleep. So how do you coach someone to sleep? Like, I find the sleep thing absolutely insane. Like, I know you'd like sleep tracking, but I know when I'm tired. I know when I'm not tired. I know when my bed's uncomfortable. Like, what is a sleep coach going to do? Oh yeah, do 50 sit-ups while you're fully asleep. Oh yeah, practice lucid dreaming so you can run in your sleep. I'm like, what the heck?
How can you coach sleep? Lucid dreaming would be awesome. And well, that's a topic for another day. But no, I don't know. It's Fitbit is testing this LLM, which is based on Gemini. Again, quoting, we're testing performance using sleep medicine certification exam-like practice tests, and we're seeing that the model currently performs well. It's just finding patterns in what helps you get a better day's sleep. This seems obvious, and this is what you're alluding to. If you exercise pretty hard early in the day, it probably makes you more tired. And again, to that point of view, I can see why it's obvious. But I think for most people, sleep is something that they always... You would never say no to a better night's sleep. And I think, like, if sleep is fertile ground to start this kind of stuff, because it's like what you're alluding to, everybody sleeps at the end of the day, and some people to varying quality. So I think starting here, it lets them take something that's not too critical, I guess is the best way to put it.
It's all fascinating to me in some respects, because I can't understand it, but at the same time, there is obviously science behind it, because people will say, oh, don't have caffeine after a certain time of the day. And I guess I don't know if subconsciously some people need to be told that.
There's seeing a notification that tells you that. I think that for some people...
Do you think it reinforces it?
It absolutely reinforces it.
I wonder if some of this is also derived from, I guess maybe from my perspective as well, it's a little bit different because I live in the UK and we have socialized medicine. Mm-hmm. So obviously all of this information is going to be beneficial if you're part of an insurance-led system. And obviously understanding your health metrics means that you don't necessarily need to go to the doctor as often. You have a full picture of your health on your wrist. So maybe looking at it from that perspective means that if Google has all of this data and can use the power of their one of the biggest LLMs out there and use Gemini to give people either advice on, say, I don't know, work out on Tuesdays, take a rest day on Wednesday, Thursday you should be doing this particular workout, try yoga on Saturdays, that kind of thing. I mean, they're bad examples, but I guess over time, obviously that's looking into the future. If you have an application or an application in tandem with a piece of hardware on your wrist, I guess that could be really valuable in terms of, like, okay, I can take care of my own health with the help of data that has been derived over potentially millennia of medical study.
I have over a decade of information.
Yeah, but obviously there's a millennia of doctor and patient knowledge that can be imbued upon the person. But I don't. Yeah, maybe I'm being harsh. Maybe I've changed my own opinion in the last 5 minutes. That maybe this is useful. And I guess specifically in the US, where obviously you have a health insurance model, that might play into it a little bit. I guess there might be some value for people Maybe that's why I didn't even think of it from that perspective quite so much.
It's and another thing that they're doing is they're testing these personalized Walkmate notifications. Like you were saying, this something as simple as encouragement that feels personalized, it feels tuned to you. For some people, that might feel stupidly futuristic, and it might be enough to get people to, again, like everybody wanting to be healthier is a universal, there's a universal aspect, a universal goal, so to speak. And maybe something as simple as try meeting your goals today or other encouragements that are more personalized than like Fitbits at the end of the hour, make sure you walk, get reminders to walk, which I personally turn off on every device. something more personalized than like coming in at the end of every hour. I think that might, again, might feel stupid futuristic to some people and might be enough to get us on that a tangible AI example in people's lives.
Yeah, if I wonder, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. I never thought of it. I feel like I'm learning as well as as people probably listening to this and getting a different viewpoint. But I think the encouragement thing's interesting because while I guess in the base level, let's use Fitbit as an example, it knows your, say, your last 7 day history of how far you've walked. And it'll say, way to go. I don't know, whatever the notification is. I'm trying to think of the notification pop up. It would be like, you need 200 more steps this hour to reach your daily goal, like your hourly goal and stuff. Like for me, sometimes that works, but most of the time it doesn't work. Like the stand goal thing. I don't know if a lot of apps have started this stand goal thing. I don't know what the heck that's about. Is that like a deep vein thrombosis prevent aid? Like I don't, that doesn't make sense to me. But I would be interested to see if we could get the data from somewhere. It'd be incredible to see if that actually does make a difference. Like, do those notifications make people do them more? And then if you get that even more tailored, like imagine you could tune the AI. Let's call it an AI trainer. There's an AI trainer baked into Fitbit. And like personally, I work best when I get abused by. I've had a personal trainer before and I need the personal trainer to shout and swear at me. So if I could have the LLM to just call me every name under the sun and be like, you are lazy. Just do it. Come on. You are embarrassing yourself. I would need that. I would need that level of input from a personal trainer.
An SNL sketch, Saturday Night Live sketch, where it's instead of Peloton, which they provide encouragement as you exercise, it's Peloton't. And they badmouth you into exercising harder. But I don't know, like these notifications, it's, again, everybody has notifications. So maybe that people are overwhelmed with it. Maybe the vast majority of people are overwhelmed with it. But when I see like that stand reminder, to me, it's just generic. And it's more broadly, that's my feeling about LLMs and like these who have deeper conversations with LLMs. To me, it's just I see the parroting back at you versus anything meaningful, a meaningful conversation that somebody actually thought about. And if like a personalized AI health coach can get closer to that, maybe that really changes people's lives.
Yeah, I mean, we see all the time, we see, tends to be Apple Watch, weirdly. We see lots of like people who've, I lost, I don't know, £300 with the Apple Watch. I don't know what that is in a real unit of measurement, but is that like half it? Do you half it for kilos? I don't know, like 150 kilos they've lost in weight in like the last year or something because they set up their walking things on their Apple Watch. I'm like,
rings.
Yeah, like even those kind of things. There's no AI powering that. So no. Maybe there is a way you could set up a truly tailored
branding. which again, Apple found Close Your Wings. It's I think it's tapered off, but during the early days, the midlife of the Apple Watch, I think that was a really cultural tapped into something. And I don't think anybody else has gotten there necessarily in terms of like closing your rings is a brilliant metaphor. That was more than steps, and 10,000 steps is pretty recognizable. But I think close your rings has a more tangible aspect of it, that you get three different metrics that your Apple Watch wants you to fill. So that was a brilliant piece of branding, and I think it's
maybe Fitbit could do this with a tailored workout, like I'm guessing a little bit like a meal plan. Like if it does everything in one, then I think that'd be incredible. Like you could do, I could say, I don't know, I want a workout that's gonna a full body workout with, I want to burn 500 calories, but I also want to back that up with a meal plan for afterwards. Like, and I follow a vegetarian / vegan diet. So I could say, give me advice for someone who is following this diet, and then bake that into the rest of the data that it already has about my fitness plan and my fitness programs. Then there could be some incredible value there, but it just depends if Google markets it correctly. Like you just said about Apple just, the masters of marketing, more so than necessarily the best products. I think there's always a case for, they tend to have good solutions to problems that don't always exist. And I think Google sometimes creates a solution and then tries to find a problem in a different way. The processes are different. And so if this is a natural progression for AI in healthcare,
and it just speaks to how important getting branding right, getting the user experience right, that matters so much in this day and age, especially with something as important as health. And on that note, Fitbit app, we touched upon it, comparing to Fit, but Fitbit app is something that the redesign was like. What did you think of the redesign?
I think, sorry, I'm getting a little bit of like low level hum. I don't know what's going on. Someone's drilling something next door, I think.
I don't hear it whatsoever.
It might, hopefully it won't pick up on the mic, but we'll continue. Yeah, I don't think I actually have it on my phone just yet in terms of the update, but I've obviously seen the new layout and stuff. I think it's all very, it's all very material you, isn't it? But I think simplifying is always good. And then because the vast majority of people using Fitbit are never going to be the people who are, like I said before, like ultra marathon runners or whatever it happens to be, because if you want that kind of level of information, you're going to be using a chest heart rate monitor. You're going to have a GPS watch on. You're going to have a lot more tech and a lot more gear that is specifically tailored to say one or two ridiculously high level metrics. With a Fitbit, it's not going to do it to that extent anyway. But if you can get a fairly good overview of what's going on from a dashboard, I think that's why I said previously that I actually quite liked the Google Fit, even though that it's not necessarily the best application. It just had a really good core dashboard that let me see all of the information that I need to see and would want to see on a regular daily basis. Just see my steps, whatever it happens to be, how many miles I've walked, active zone minutes, that kind of thing. Like, those things are fine for most people. And if that is just the encouragement that you need, if you're just going to treat it as a data point, I think the redesign is I think it's succeeded in that regard. Some people might say it's a downgrade, but
yeah, it's
I like simplicity personally. So for me, it's just
consistency. The old design was, It was long in the tooth, and the redesign introduced in the fall, it greatly adds consistency to all the way stats are displayed. Like we saw earlier this week that they're redesigning the sleep page to match the other stats and activity that have already been redesigned. It's the consistency of it is important, and Fitbit always had to update. It was so old, so long in the tooth, that it had to update, and this is what we have, and it's just happens to be tied in material U and all that. So yeah, I think
just speaking from the actual visual aspect, I love the icons as well. I don't know why, I just think the icons are really well thought out.
It's big and bold.
Yeah, it's just straight away, most people want to know their steps. I mean, it's a shame. It's good that you can adjust the focuses of each. Like, I quite like that aspect of it.
Customization.
I need to check on my Pixel actually if it has been updated, because I did have an update waiting a couple of days ago, and I can't remember if I set auto updates on the Play Store, but it would make me use it more. For definite. I like the tabs as well. Again, it does actually feel a little bit like the natural progression of Fit, because everything feels like the navigation method is the same, like using the tabs at the bottom and stuff like that. And I like it. And I'm going to be honest, I do like it.
The important thing you touched upon earlier is that Fitbit's audience, for better or worse, is mainstream. They are going for the absolute middle. They're going for the person that maybe has bought one or two Fitbit trackers in the past, but hasn't stuck
to it. And
it's
going to stay with
everyone. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a hard design. The retention, user retention, it's a hard problem. And design does play a role in it. In the case of a smartwatch, you keep putting it on your wrist for notifications. And if Google, with its big Fitbit focus, can get you to use it for the health stuff, that's a win for them.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I don't disagree. I think it makes sense. And obviously, the premium elements as well now feel a bit more premium. You need a premium application which has premium features, and I think it definitely suits that a little bit more. It feels a little bit more 2023, 2024, which is nice, because I do think the other Fitbit application felt it did feel a little bit past. And like you say, Google aiming for the mainstream is a good thing, because they've had so many niche products over the years. You could argue Pixel's still pretty niche, but if you're going to make inroads, you have to target the mainstream. The main demographic is your generic man on the street, woman on the street, whatever it is. I think that's the only way you're going to grow the brand. And I think Fitbit has a little bit of a legacy appeal, isn't there? Mm-hmm. I mean, pre-Google, I think a lot of people still know Fitbit. Like if you think step tracker, people usually call it a Fitbit. So there's definitely some brand recognition there.
They cannot lose that. They have to keep that legacy in place. If the market they can maintain, if the market they can attract people to is if you want a step tracker, you get a Fitbit. That's pretty powerful. And AI for all these companies is the way to hook people in to have a next generation experience. If you've tried in the past to get on a fitness tracker and you haven't stuck with it, the way to AI might be the biggest way to get people back in.
Yeah, so I think that probably does tie in quite well in terms of like the mainstream in that brand recognition, and people want a Fitbit. Is if you search for Fitbit now, I'm aware that everything's now on the Google storefront, right? So I think if Google is going to be going for that mainstream, which is a really good target demographic, having everything with Fitbit branding on the storefront is going to be absolutely huge. And I'm aware that they moved everything onto Fitbit bands, dock, and other accessories on the store, rather than just pure hardware now.
It's okay, long time coming, especially since we consider how long ago the acquisition was. But I think this paves the way for Fitbit.com going away now that everything's on the Google store. It's simplified. You can, if you're a Google One subscriber, which is the big appeal that Google's obviously trying to get people on right now, you get 10% back, you get accessories, You get to use Google Store credit and that kind of stuff. But it just shows a much better a family of products, and people do like accessorizing.
I think tying back to what we were just saying about the brand recognition for Fitbit, in terms of if I'm going to get a step tracker, I'm going to get Fitbit. I wonder what the conversion rate is like for, because obviously there's definitely millions of people out there who still do not know Google makes smartphones. So if you have, say, for instance, you're looking for a Fitbit, and now if in terms of search, the Google Store comes up first, then maybe there's an opportunity there to convert people to Pixel as well. So there's that added bonus a little bit, I guess. If you say, for instance, you look at a Pixel, you're potentially going to buy one, and like you just mentioned there, if you have a Google One subscription and you get 10% back, you might end up with a little bit of change left over as a result of a coupon or a voucher to go and get yourself a Fitbit as well. So I think there isn't much of a loss by moving all of the accessories and Fitbit related products to the Google Store.
Mm.
And obviously it was bound to happen eventually, but it feels like it feels a little bit late, but at the same time it's still a good move.
Yeah, absolutely.
And have you personally purchased a Fitbit from the Google Store?
I have.
Or
all
have
the
you always gone elsewhere? You have all the Fitbits.
I have all the
You
Fitbits.
Are the Fitbit master.
It's all in a plastic bag. It's quite hilarious.
I think that kind of rounds out what we think and how we feel about this big week for Fitbit. I think you put it earlier on in the podcast, Abner. Overall, for me, Fitbit is maybe going to be one of those brands that I pay a bit more close attention to, because it was always one of the things I didn't really necessarily care all that much about. But yeah, it's an interesting time for the brand that has slowly, very, very slowly been enveloped into Google's other product ecosystems. I think that probably sums it up for us in terms of this particular subject. You've been listening to Pixelated, and this is currently episode 3. We have another episode coming next week, which is probably going to be going over some of the things related to the Android 15 developer preview. So if you are all about Android software, I know I am, if you know me very well. And yeah, we will be back with another episode, as always, next week. So bye from me. And is it bye from you as well, Abner?
Yes, it is. Bye.
All right, take care, guys.